everybody. Welcome to Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr. It's good to have you with us today. You hear the air conditioner in the background. That means it's still hot in Texas. It is about 97 outside right now. Fall cannot be far away. I've had enough sunshine for 1 year. Our guest today is a lady named Heather Stubbs. And how are you?
I'm just great, thanks.
Where are you? What is your...
I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. Hot Atlanta, they say.
Hot Atlanta.
It's been sunny for about 10 days, about the driest period we've had since May.
Hot Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Huge city, massive city.
Too big.
it is too big. But I live in a small town. There's a town of about 40,000 people. So how is transportation in Atlanta for blind people? Is it
terrible?
Good? Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
No handy ride, no...
There's our L-Van service and MARTA regular public transportation, and we have very few sidewalks. So many of us are having to resort to L-Van service, paratransit, and sometimes they have cut routes where we can't go in anywhere on Sundays. For example, I can't go anywhere at all. And I was offered a room to work in as a massage therapist on Sundays, and I can't right now.
So you can't go there, so you can't work there.
Correct.
They just don't, I mean, they just refuse to give handicapped service on Sunday to blind people.
In this area, that's correct. It's the bus route and the paratransit, quote-unquote, complimentary routes don't run that I need.
I don't know if that's legal or not. I know.
I'm about to go to our elderly and handicapped committee tomorrow and...
I don't know if they can do that. I mean, I don't know if they. I don't really know if that's legal. My wife is an attorney, but she doesn't deal in those sorts of things. But it'd be interesting to find out. You say you're going before a committee tomorrow to discuss this little problem you're having.
Yeah.
Well, good. I would be really interested in the outcome of what they say. So you might call me and give me a heads up on that. Now. Let's get back to your early childhood like we do with everybody. Where were you born? You've been blind. You're totally blind, right?
Yes, I am. And I was born at Broward General in Hollywood, Florida on September 13th of 1964. And I had retrolental fibroplasia, which is, quote unquote, too much oxygen at birth. Although I like to think of it as being given more than the usual amount of oxygen, but I'm alive, and so I just happen to be blind. So
that's the thing. It was life or nothing.
Yes.
I mean, it was
absolutely.
You know,
so it's a real blessing.
We pointed that out to several people that it was, you know, if they hadn't given you the oxygen, you'd be dead.
You got it.
You wouldn't have survived. You know, you've just told us your age.
Yep.
You were aware of that.
You're turning 41 tomorrow.
41 tomorrow? Tomorrow?
It's the 12th of September already, Phil.
I know it's the 12th of September.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, it flies by.
Your birthday is the 13th of September.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty neat. We had several people. Susie Barnes, it's on our list, is on the 11th. Let's see.
Man.
Yeah, one of the guys that does the blind handyman is the 15th of September. Mm-hmm. So September's full of birthdays. Somebody else I know is on the 9th. Anyway, 41 or 42 tomorrow? 41 tomorrow. Well, it's a good age. I remember it well.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Hey, so you received too much oxygen as a child. You were born down in Florida. And what did they think about schooling for you? Did they mainstream you? What did they do with you?
Yeah, my parents, in fact, were some of the pioneers in the mainstream fight. And they refused to send me to the Florida School for the Blind and Deaf in St. Augustine, and I was glad because I wanted to be able to go to school with my twin sister. And they really, really believed that the best way to acclimate a blind person to this world is to get them started in this world and to also provide the very best possible special education. And fortunately, they had some really good advocates working with them all the way up to Washington, D.C., and so I was very blessed to be able to mainstream throughout my school, except for the 2 years I spent in France.
So you feel you're of the opinion that mainstreaming is the best thing to do with a blind child?
Absolutely. For one thing, I enjoyed the fact that I not only had personalized mobility training and so forth, and I also worked with groups, so I had the best of both the personal and the group type of training with other blind students. I did this all throughout public school, and I felt included in the classes with the sighted world. And even though sometimes the sighted world didn't quite understand how we, you know, function in day-to-day yeah. life and would tease us and do things. You know, that's something I felt like I had to learn how to get through that. And all, you know, kids have to learn in some way how to adapt. And
yeah.
So it was always very well understood that you had to just learn to handle things like that.
Yeah, that you deal with what you got.
Yeah, and that was always good because you didn't think about what you didn't have. You worked with what you had, and you became creative, you know, and you worked out ways to find solutions instead of thinking only of the problem.
And you say that you had a twin sister?
Yeah, I have a twin sister.
What is the word? A paternal twin?
Yeah, we're identicals, actually.
Actually, identical twins.
She has her sight in one eye. She had retinal fibroplasia and glaucoma.
Hmm.
And then I developed glaucoma when I was 3 and lost both my eyes.
But she has sight in one of her eyes.
She's got sight in one eye. She had surgery and had an implant placed in her eye 4.5 years ago and is still able to drive again, thank God, after being blind for 2 years. That was tough for her.
Oh, so in her adult life, she lost her eyesight, went
yeah.
away, so she was unable to drive for a couple of years, and then she got it back.
Man, wasn't it great.
Really?
It was awesome just to hear her, like when we went to Stone Mountain to see the laser show, to hear her come up, and her way of saying, you know, take my arm was, pick me up. And I loved it, you know, just to hear that again from Maggie was like, oh, yeah, my sister's back. So
they didn't all try to name you like Heather and Maggie.
Mm-mm. No, they wanted to believe in us as individuals and not just identical twins, because every one of us, even though we may have very similar genetic prints, whatever.
Yeah, makeups, yeah.
We are different people. We have different characteristics of her personality that we can bring out. And,
now, you said an implant in one of her eyes. What are you referring to?
She had an experimental laser lens that was sort of patterned after a micro Hubble telescope implanted in her eye, as the best way I can describe it, so that she could regain some use of her eye. And she was able to go from 2700 or 2200 to 2032.
Which is plenty good enough to drive.
Unreal. It was just
incredible. Well, that's good. I guess they taught you Braille in public school and that sort of thing. You learn Braille. You're a good Braille reader. You like it?
Love it. And
I
am absolutely a huge supporter of learning Braille. I believe it should be required. And I do believe it should also be taught in the elementary schools. Like we have English as a second language. They teach sign language in the schools, and Braille, I believe, should also be included.
Well, I don't disagree with that, and lots of people think that, and lots of people. I'm not a Braille user to very small extent, but lots of folks are, and lots of folks love it.
Well, some people can't use it as effectively, especially diabetics who have very little sensitivity left in their fingers.
I was just dumb. I just couldn't do it. And, obviously you had a pretty good school experience, and you consider your parents very forward-looking from the way
they
you talk.
They really were, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, they saw to it that you got a good education. Did 12 grades in Florida? Did you move during school, or what? How did you end up in Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, my father got a job offer here in Atlanta when I was in the first grade. And so DeKalb County, which had the very best public education and mainstreaming program with special ed in Atlanta, of course, had an opening at McClendon Elementary School. I went from Nova Elementary School in Florida to McClendon Elementary School and didn't have to catch up very much. And spent 3 years here and then moved to France for 2 years and then came back here and finished up at Laurel Ridge and Shamrock High School. And,
you moved to France for 2 years during the time that you were going to school.
Yeah.
Well, that must have been interesting. I mean, must have been different because you did you bone up on the language before you went?
Yes, I did, and I had about 6 months to prepare. And my dad spoke fluent French, so we took lessons, my sister and I, and poor mom, she had a tough time with it, so I had to become her interpreter.
Okay.
But my sister and I, and even my little brother at the time, took lessons from my dad, and then so we were well versed in it by the time we got there, and we adapted to the language very quickly. It was a lot of fun.
And at what age were you when this happened?
I was 9. I moved there when I was 9, and I came back when I was 11. So I was there. We moved there on July 4th of 1974, and came back on July 4th of 1976.
What sort of schooling did they do in France? I mean, did you just go to a public school there?
That was interesting. I forced my way into the public schools after being let go. I was no longer permitted to attend Marymount School, which was a Catholic school, and the government had said they would pay for it and would help pay for my books to be translated in Braille. Well, that lasted 3 months, and then I forced my way in the public school system there, which was a totally no-no thing to do. Blind people were put in the Institute of Paris, the Blind Institute of Paris, taught to weave baskets, use the telephone, and basically practice good hygiene. And that was about it, along with Braille and mobility skills. So
now, this Catholic school you went to, you didn't like it there.
Oh, no, I loved it, and I didn't want to be let go, but the government stopped paying for our fees, our tuition. And we were forced out because my parents could not afford to put out the money for.
So they thought they were going to send you to this blind institute.
Yes, and in fact, that was about to happen, and I refused. And I spent about a month at home, and then one day I literally walked out of the house, and I walked over to the public elementary school, walked into class with my sister one day because she was going there, and I just said, you know, I'm not going to take no for an answer.
And you didn't. And so they had
no choice. And it was tough. And I even went on a month-long skiing trip with the rest of the students there in class on the month of January of 1976 and learned how to do some downhill and cross-country skiing and sledding. Which they do. They take children in the schools in Europe, and they go out on some kind of a learning adventure, and it happened to be skiing for me, and also went to school every day.
And so you went on this skiing trip with all these sighted kids.
Yeah.
You were the only blind child there.
Yeah.
But fortunately, your sister was there, so you had some support.
Yeah. It was tough, though, because at one point she crashed. She fell down into a ravine and wound up spending a whole week in the clinic, so I wound up having to defend myself pretty strong for the last week I was there, and I couldn't wait to get back home at that point.
Yeah, I imagine.
That was rough.
But your sister, she wasn't badly hurt.
She had a bad concussion, but thank God we were able to get her home, and she recovered fully.
But you learned, you got some skiing instruction, you actually learned to do some skiing. Well, that's pretty interesting for a young girl to do that, blind child to do that. They just don't have anything for blind people in France.
It's
they don't.
Very, very limited, and you're kind of an object of their favor, their mercy, and that's really unfortunate.
It is.
You're really limited, and in this country it's become more and more that way with an unemployment rate of in the 80s. 80% range. So it's pretty bad. We got some reorganizing to do. It's pretty sad.
Well, yeah, we do. You think the unemployment rate is really that high?
It's very high.
It's high. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and considering there are 9 million of us.
Yeah. And many of them are on SSI. I had to go on SSDI after I had to quit my job. I was forced to quit at FedEx, but I became a massage therapist instead, and I love it.
All right, well,
I'm trying to get back into the life of independence again.
Let's don't get to that yet. We got you through high school. You finished high school in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep.
Played in a band. What'd you do when you were in high school?
Sang. I sang in the many choruses. I was in the honors chorus, Allstate for 5 years, Allstate chorus, and when I was always in the top five of the auditions, sang in the regular chorus and in the chorale, the Glee chorale, and very, very much involved in that. And in the last year I was there, I was Sister Margaretta in The Sound of Music.
You were what now? Sister Margaretta, really?
Yeah, Sister of Margareta in The Sound of Music.
That's great. So you did some acting.
I did a little bit of acting, and I loved every bit of it.
And that's... What's going on? Are you
my cat's crying. I'm sorry.
Is that your cat? I thought you were about to lose the phone there.
Oh, no. I had to cover the cat and cover the phone up and tell her to hush.
Oh, she'll be. You can tell her to hush on the air. We don't worry about that. No, we don't mind. I holler at my dog all the time during the Blind Handyman show. So, good high school. What did you think after you got out of high school? What are you going to do with your life? It was 61, 71. It was about 78.
78 was when I was in eighth grade. I graduated in 83.
83. What are you going to do? We had... Didn't have computers then, so...
No, we didn't have a lot of computers, and the voc rehab counselor wanted me to be a vendor, a social worker, or a teacher, and I said no to all three. I wanted to go into music, and my parents flat refused to allow it. And when I went to Georgia State, I was told that if I couldn't read Braille music, that I would not qualify for the classes, and so pretty much got booted out.
Well, wait a minute.
You learn by ear and play by ear. And
your parents absolutely refused to let you go into music.
Yeah.
They didn't want that.
Nope.
Maybe they were farsighted. They realized you couldn't make a living doing it. It's
very
hard.
Well, I think part of it, too, was so much of the image today is, let's just say that it's not exactly clean. And so there's a risk involved when you go into something like that, and you don't want to become a cookie cutter image, and you sure don't want to be a sex figure. You want to do music. And
well, I want to be a sex figure. That's what I.
Well, that was fine for you if you wanted that, but not for me.
Anyway, so your parents didn't they discouraged music, and the university said no.
And the university said no, and. Anyhow, things kind of really got shaky after that financially, and I had to stop, and I had to get a job, and so I did not complete my college at Georgia State, and in fact, I was actually kind of glad because I really wanted to get out of the liberal arts world and find something really specific, but I needed to work, and that was more important, that was more pressing. So I got a job as customer service rep at FedEx.
Well, you needed to work if you wanted to live away from home.
Yep, that was exactly it.
That's exactly it. I'm sure that it would have been all right if you'd stayed home. You didn't have to work, but who wants to do that when they're 21 years old?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but it was a long time before I could live on my own if I wanted to buy a house. And finally, at the age of 30, what was it?
Whatever.
Years ago, at 36, I was able to buy a house, and it was the best move I ever made, and it was really, really worth it.
So you took this job at FedEx.
Yeah.
And you worked as a customer rep at FedEx. We know a couple other people that do that.
Yeah.
Exact same thing. It would be a job, but it would seem to be a very boring job. Of course, a lot of people work boring jobs, but...
Actually, it was a very stressful job because we had constantly had equipment failures, and the corporation didn't want to provide the accessible accommodations or training.
Yeah.
They wanted the government to do that. And all 11 of us at the time had to go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and press charges against the company, which we won in 1998. I was there for 13 and a half years. And I just, now they're sitting there just twiddling their thumbs and reading talking books and maybe taking 4 or 5 pickup calls a day. The blind reps that are there, so they're really not doing anything there, and it's a shame.
So you had 11 11 physically handicapped, or 11 blind people?
No, blind.
11 blind people that worked in your office in the Atlanta?
They actually worked in several call centers throughout the country, but three of us worked in the Atlanta call center, myself and two other blind individuals. We called ourselves Out of Sight.
Out of Sight. And so, but Atlanta's their hub, isn't it?
Actually, it's Memphis. Headquarters,
okay.
But Atlanta has one of the larger call centers, but it's mid-sized to large call center.
All right, we are over time. Let's take just a short break and be back and discuss a little more of this and get into your current ideas of having a job, finding a job in massage therapy. Back in a minute with more of Blind Like Me.
Science. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you one of those people that's really interested in shortwave listening and you'd like to find a good place to purchase shortwave receivers? You may be thinking, well, they're not as popular now because a lot of the radio stations have gone over to the internet. But if you're one of those people that still would like to buy a nice shortwave receiver, you should take a look at universalradio.com. The website is www.universal-radio.com. It's a very reputable shortwave radio dealer. They sell shortwave receivers. They sell police scanners, also ham receivers and transceivers. Again, the website is www.universal-radio.com. I give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. And for blind sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Our guest is Heather Stubbs from Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, GA, lots of songs written about Atlanta. So, but the UPS thing was successful. You made money there. You were able to make a living there. And I guess you hold some bad feelings about that company because they wouldn't provide technology for you.
Correct. And it was FedEx, actually.
Was it FedEx? Did I say UPS?
Yeah.
All right, FedEx.
And there
are
blind workers for UPS, ironically, yeah. And they're actually doing pretty well from what I understand. But the job was very stressful, and after a while, I just got so tired, and I was so stressed out, and my health really started deteriorating, and I knew it was time for a change because I was not happy. And I'd for 9 years wanted to become a massage therapist. So everybody told me, oh, you won't do anything with that either, you know, all the naysayers. And, oh, you won't get disability and forget it. You're stuck with FedEx. You're going to retire with that. And if you leave them, you're going to have heck to pay. And I just had enough of that. And I had to strike out in faith. And I listened to a lot of Enya's music, and she kind of pushed me in the right direction. So
now, a lot of whose music?
Enya, great singer.
Enya. She a gospel,
She's
sort of
Irish, and it's more of world music. They used to label it New Age, but I can't. It's not. It's more labeled world music now. Beautiful music, though. It's incredible.
But you did not complete college.
No.
You decided not to do that.
Yeah, and I couldn't because of financial restraints. So.
And so you went to work for FedEx. Now you're in massage therapy. So you went did the government help you pay for that schooling?
It did, thank God. And it was a struggle. I took a little bit of time, but I had really great support from Mr. Zell Miller and his office in Atlanta here, and from people at the Social Security level that were very, very supportive and very encouraging, and they really helped get through all of the red tape and helped me get that position, helped get through school so I could get the materials I needed and work.
Because teaching a blind person massage therapy, I mean, a sighted person, they could say, you do this, and and teaching a blind person, someone would almost have to put their hands on your hands and show you.
That was a part of it, but I think the nice thing was that I also was a demo once in a while so that I could feel the strokes, and as they would as the instructors would do the strokes, they would say, now I'm laying the palms of my whole hand down, and I've got my right leg, the table's on the right side, and I've got my right leg straight, and my left leg is forward, and then I bend it, and I just lean and lunge as I let myself go stroke along the back, you know. And it was amazing because they did an outstanding job at the school, so I got to be the demo, and I got to do a lot of demonstration work. So it was a very intense course, but just absolutely super beneficial. And not to mention, of course, I used to tease my sighted folks because we have to end our class with a blindfold massage therapy session.
Really? And,
I would tell them, hey, guys, you know what? I can wear one if it'd make you feel better.
No problem for you. Now, did I hear you say lean and lunge
lean
while
and
ago?
Lunge, yeah.
Is that a normal term used as a massage therapist?
Lean? When we practice massage, we use what we call body mechanics, and that's real important. I think there was some references made to that from another therapist a while back, and that proper use of your body is very important as a massage therapist so that you can do anything possible to prevent arthritis or severe pain or postural problems. So it's very important to practice good exercise, good body form and posture, and to be able to practice techniques using your body to help you get the most out of the massage. So, for example, when I'm leaning and lunging on, I'm laying my hands on the table, and I'm leaning on that table, and I'm lunging so I can move forward more effectively, but keeping my body straight and relaxed. So it's a great way to use gravity as your friend, as well as the weight of, you know, your...
As well as your weight.
Yeah, I'm using my weight on that person's back, and I can control that. I can regulate that. And I'm not using just muscle pressure. That's a myth. You're not using a lot of pressure. You're using your weight to give you the maximum potential to use to allow pressure to conform to that person. So,
now, how long ago did you go through this massage therapy school?
I began my education in April 2003, and I graduated last year in June, and I finished my my state certification in October, and I'm about to get my national. So.
Of last year, you finished your state certification.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been casting about for a year or so, trying to get something going. What do you? Of course, there are places who employ massage therapists.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to start my own business. And I believe that it's a great idea to do this if you can. A lot of places, you don't get to pick and choose your own clients. And I've always cautioned other blind individuals to be very careful because there, unfortunately, is there's a lot of people out there in the public that use massage for other purposes other than medical. So you have to be very careful. And you also have to... also have to be sure that you're getting paid fairly for what you do. And sometimes you've got to watch out and make sure that people aren't taking tip monies from your envelopes or from your tip buckets out on the counter or out
on the
you know. And that's happened to a lot of therapists. And so I've actually gone to where I now rent a room and I work out of that room and I pay the landlord and those are my clients and that keeps it much safer. I advertise on my own. I don't go through the newspapers and some of the Yellow Pages ads. I don't use those because there are so many massage therapists that are not in the proper practice. They're in it for other purposes.
What we're alluding to is sometimes people think of a massage therapist sort of as a sexual thing.
Exactly.
Maybe you would get some sexual relief from that massage,
exactly.
A prostate massage or some sort of, and that is far from the case in most cases.
Absolutely, and that's illegal. And one thing I truly try to tell, especially women who I work with that have been traumatized, is the difference between, that there is a difference between good and bad touch, safe and not safe touch.
Sure there is.
And a lot of people that I'm working with have had difficulty with touch, and I'm one of those. So I had a great therapist in high school that was a counselor who was also a therapist who put me through massage therapy as part of my treatment because I kind of had to learn the difference between good and bad touch growing up. And so it was a really forward-thinking therapist also who was wonderful and a counselor who was so wonderful too.
Now, this was in high school?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah.
I mean, darn. You've run the gambit, haven't you?
It's been incredible, I'll tell you. It's a good learning experience. I mean, you know, it hasn't always been easy either, but it's been good.
So you are now trying to set up your own business. Do you have mostly male or mostly female clients or a combination, I guess, of both?
A combination. I'd say that 60% of my clientele is female.
Are you there now? You're home now, right?
I'm actually at home right now.
So you don't go in, you don't go every day?
No, I can't afford to right now, but I'm hoping to build up some more clientele so that I can.
How, you said you don't advertise in newspapers. How would you advertise?
I print flyers and distribute them to various businesses locally, churches. I also, when I travel, I'm always introduced to, it's so funny, I have a guide dog, so people always, look at the great puppy dog, and
of course,
you might strike up a conversation. Sometimes I might notice somebody's really stressed out, and I might introduce myself, and then, you know, have just maybe, well, you really are seem stressed out. Do you have any pain in your shoulders and headaches and stuff? Do you suffer that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I do work on that kind of stuff.
I could help you with that.
I can really help you with that, exactly. You know, I'm very flexible in my marketing approaches. I worked with one gentleman who had a stroke 6 years ago, and he had a massive stroke, and he's paralyzed on one side, and I started working with him, and he's starting to get some muscle movement on that side, and it's really awesome because neuromuscular therapy can, in fact, in some cases, can restore some movement and some firing of nerves. And I know because it was used on me when I had surgery on my legs, and it helped restore full nerve function in both of my legs after surgery.
And you have full function now.
Again. I do.
Yes.
And I didn't before, so it is a... I'm a living proof.
Testimonial. Yeah. That you have a guide dog and you also have a cat.
I got two of them. Two cats and my guide dog, Rosie, and then Theo and Tigger.
So a house full of pets.
A menagerie.
A menagerie. Well, if someone is... there might be... some blind folks out there who would like to talk to you about going to massage therapy school.
Yeah.
There might be, just on the offhand chance, that there'd be somebody passing through Atlanta who would be interested. Do you want to, why don't we kind of wrap this up by giving an email address or phone number or whatever information you want to give?
And if I do change my email address, I will send that to anyone. But for right now, my email address is Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, S-T-U-B, that's Stubbs 7, so Heather Stubbs 7, at AOL.com. So that's
right.
The email.
Okay.
And the telephone number for Divine Touch Massage Therapy.
Is that what you call your
mm-hmm.
studio, Divine Touch?
My practice, Divine Touch Massage Therapy. It's got a really nice logo that I had an artist design, by the way. Unfortunately, I don't have a website right now. But the telephone number for Divine Touch Massage Therapy is 770-934-2368.
All right, you better do that one more time so we'll have
770-934-2368.
Now, are you set up that if someone called that number now, they would come to your home?
They can actually, we can arrange for an appointment. I can go to them with my table, because in the metropolitan Atlanta area, we are not allowed to work out of our homes unless we have a building attached separately to our home.
Yeah, but you could come to my home.
I could go to your home, and or I can work out of my room on Saturday that I rent.
But what I'm saying is your phone forwarded to your house? If someone calls mm-hmm. that number, they're gonna get you at your home.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, all we can do is wish you lots of luck, and you seem to have a go get them up front sort of an attitude, I would say you'll probably do well. It may take a while, but I think you'll probably do all right. You don't seem to take anything from anybody.
Seem to be one of the, I have a lot of great support, and it's so appreciated.
What's the name again? Divine Touch.
Divine Touch Massage.
That almost implies a religious connotation.
Mm-hmm, it is, sort of, but spiritual. And the logo is a dove with hands coming out of it. It looks like it's soaring into the air. And I kind of like that ethereal quality, getting out of yourself a little bit. So that you can feel lifted.
All right, let's give the email address and phone number one more time, and we'll close and let you get back to work or whatever you're doing today.
Okay, it's HEATHERSTUB7, Heather Stubbs 7 at AOL.com. And Divine Touch's phone number is 770-934-2368.
Know about the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
And through the magic of radio, we go from Atlanta, Georgia, to Knoxville, Tennessee, which is in the eastern part of Tennessee, I think. And hi, Susie, how are you?
Good morning, and how are you?
Well, I'm fine. You sound better today. Susie and I have just been on a cruise, and I read your post about the cruise, and I agree with everything you said, and I might add a few things to it. I need to read it to Luann. I'm sure she'll appreciate it. There's several things I'll never do, and one of them is go on a four-day cruise because they go by too quick. You just seem like you get on the boat, and you're ready to get off.
Yeah, all that packing, by the time you finally find out where something is, it's time to go home.
That's about it. And by the time you get everything put up, it's time to put it back in your... Did you say you took a whole suitcase full of stuff you didn't use?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did too. I was unpacking my computer bag. I took all kind of things that I never used. But anyway,
I hope to pack light, learn to pack lightly.
I would like for my wife to learn to pack lightly.
She'd want you to leave home all of your toys.
And I'd like to. She would. And I'd like to not have... I broke a bottle of booze in my suitcase. That started off my trip. And those of you who have wives and or husbands, you know that things went downhill from there. It was pretty tense. But we got past it, and we're all... We've all survived. It was a nice little cruise. It was certainly warm enough in October in Texas.
Yes, it was warm enough.
Yeah.
And you knew you were on the water because you were swaying quite a bit. We were all swaying quite a bit.
But you know, compared to that wind, Saturday night we went up, I'd like to say topside, but I don't want anybody to make fun of me. We went up to go out on the deck, and it said, they had a thing on the door that said, warning, winds, high winds, you know, go out on your, and I said, oh, the hell with that. I stuck my head out there, and there were hurricane force winds. But the ship wasn't moving too much because of those, you know. So I don't know. Anyway, we've been on a cruise, and that was your first, and I think my fifth, and I don't know. We're talking about doing the Alaska cruise, but not now. I've had enough cruising. All right, what we want to talk about here is you are doing now on a website called For the People. Is that correct? That's right,
yes.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh. ForThePeople.com.
A cooking class on Wednesday afternoons at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, and 1 Pacific. And this is not a cooking show, per se, like Dale does. This is more of a cooking how-to-do class. Anyway, tell me about it, okay?
Well, actually, it's supposed to be an hour. Sometime we run over a bit or get started a bit late, depending on if anyone is there. But the idea of the class is not only to share recipes, but to share ideas. And since it's in a chat room of sorts, I will put down, I'll lock the mic down and give a recipe, and with some descriptions as to draining techniques or things that might be useful, and then take the mic lock off and ask if there are any questions or discussions. And often people will ask, well, you know, what size pan is that, or what can I use instead of this? Or as yesterday, one lady said, well, since I'm diabetic, I would use, and she told what combination of things that she would use in this particular recipe to make it diabetic safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very interesting because, well, in the recipe I'm talking about, it was a spicy macaroni casserole. And since it's getting winter, getting towards fall in some parts of the the United States.
Yeah.
We start thinking, what do you call it? Comfort food.
Yeah.
And she was saying to use wheat macaroni. Well, I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I didn't either.
So I am learning a lot on this this class type thing as well, and then. Some of them tell of different type things that they would use instead, particularly if it has onions in it. Some of them buy frozen chopped onions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a learning process for all of us. But I think what is interesting to me, because of having taught cooking skills in a rehab center some years ago, it has been a couple of ladies in there who are nearly blinded and have been uncomfortable cooking and apprehensive about it. And I think some of the techniques that we've talked about,
sure,
they're already given ideas of what they could use for this and that and the other, and they're involved in the class. And so that makes it worth it.
So it is interactive as opposed to Dale's, which is a little cooking show, which is a wonderful thing. And he just cooks, but there's no way for you to ask an on-the-spot question, whereas with this thing, there is.
Yes. They ask questions. And since I'm on the site some, they know that they can catch me on the site and ask questions, or for that matter, just email me.
Yeah.
And we, recipes are put on Pete's cook list. So for anybody who is on Pete's, I think it's called Pete's cook list, then they can get all these recipes that are on there, and a lot of folks have wonderful recipes.
Do you have a recipe? Do you come up with something each week that you're going to cook, or that you're going to just read the recipe, or how do you tell us how do you?
Well, I usually come up with I usually have four recipes. I think yesterday was only three, and then I gave an idea of doing something that I had found very simple. I usually like simple recipes that have tasty results. I'm not big on a recipe that goes forever and ever. I read a recipe, we discuss it a little bit, and then, too, there are recipes that people have requested. Some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a couple of weeks ago, someone wanted to know how to cook collard greens. Well, I have never cooked collard greens in my entire life, but I looked until I found directions on those, and it was kind of interesting. And we've had cornbread recipes that people requested, and southern fried chicken. And my mom made the best southern fried chicken, so I found the recipes that I had sent to our church cookbook that they were doing, the little church that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
My parents went to for... Well, they were married 55 years, and I guess they went to church there at least 50 of those 55 years.
Now,
it was almost Granny's fried chicken, and I put it that way simply because I figured that somebody would find a flaw and say, no, she did it this way. So almost got me through.
But now, greens, you don't really do much to them. You just boil them, don't you? I mean, they're just...
Well, see, that's what you say, and that's essentially so, but if you don't know exactly what to do, then that almost just leaves you way out in the dark. For example, you need to wash them one by one. Each leaf, wash them one by one, and then you stack them on top of each other and roll them. This is what it was suggested. Put them in a stack and roll them and then slice them. And then it tells how much water to put in there and how much ham hock or whatever you're going to use.
Yeah.
And how long to boil it and then to keep adding to. So those are a few of the things that you assume everybody knows, but there's so many of us that need a step 1, 2, 3 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I am on computer or just about anything I do. I need a step 1, 2, 3. And so if I need that,
yeah,
it's very likely that there's somebody else that needs that too.
Would you eat collard greens? I mean, would you eat them? Are they one of your foods that you like?
Well, now, I never cook them. But now, I guess, I don't know that I've ever eaten collards. I eat turnip greens.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they taste similar. But I like turnip greens. If they're young and tender and you've got some pepper vinegar to go on them, yeah, I like it.
My wife would eat collard greens 3 times, 4 times a week if they were available and somebody cooked them. She loves them.
Yes.
Just loves them.
Yes.
I can't stand them. I mean, I don't eat them. Have you ever eaten poke salad greens?
Yeah. Funny, that used to be something that you only ate in the spring. Now, whether they're good other times through the year or not, but when I was a child, I can remember you could get the first, well, we called them the first mess of poke salad. But after that, they were supposedly poisonous. I don't think so, but that's what I heard when I was a kid.
Well, we also heard when we were kids that if you didn't boil them three times or some sort of something like that, that they were poisonous, that you had to boil them, pour the water off, boil them, pour the water off, then boil them, then you could eat them.
Well, I don't know about that because I didn't. I was too young to pay attention to that part. So pug salad was never high on my list of things.
But I often wondered, how did they figure that out? Like they boiled him once and they fed him to Henry and he died. And they said, well, if we'd have boiled him twice, Clarence, you want to try it, you know. Lost a couple of guys figuring this out.
The only thing I can think of is probably the water looked dirty. And they poured that off, and they just kept doing it until the water didn't look dirty.
Oh, I thought we...
I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
I thought we might have sacrificed a couple of guys to find out, you know. I don't know.
Maybe, but not
it's
at all.
It's possible. Okay,
see,
so...
that was supposed to be the spring tonic. You ate a big mess of poke salad. But we won't go there for what it tonicked. So
well, it's not spring anyway. What this is all on Wednesday afternoons on for the people. Now, what did you talk about yesterday? Give us an example of. Do you remember?
Okay, yesterday was the day we did the macaroni casserole,
okay.
And she talked about using the wheat noodles or wheat macaroni. We also did. Three cheese biscuits, which are either the recipe or too similar to know the difference of the cheese garlic biscuits that they serve at Red Lobster.
Wow. I love them.
They're very, very easy, and they're very good. And let's see. I'm sure I had another recipe that I read.
Yeah.
Plus, I had... a quick dessert, if you just really want something sweet and don't have anything in the house but have an apple, was slicing an apple and then just putting like a teaspoon of cinnamon sugar.
Okay.
Sprinkling that over it, stick it in the microwave for about a minute and a half or till that smell is just wonderful, and with a fork it's tender and it's very good. And you can't get much easier than that.
Now, that's kind of a fall. You think of that as apples. Cooked apples is kind of a fall, or I do. Halloween sort of a thing. Let me just ask you this. If I thought of this because the Luann has old clients that they've dealt with for years, that they've drawn up wills for and done insurance work for, mm-hmm. and done things for, and Lufkin is still a small town. Well, occasionally someone will bring something by, will cook something, like I've seen people cook Luann a mess of collard greens and bring them to her, because they know she loves them.
Uh-huh.
Well, Clara Strange brought a pie the other day, and Luann brought the pie home, and I wanted to cut a slice of this pie. It was a sweet potato pie, which I dearly love. That old Bob Wilson pie, tater pie,
uh-huh.
I'm looking for a gal that cooks. I don't care much the way she looks. I'll be hers until I die if she can cook a tater pie.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I was going to cut this pie up, and I thought, how would I do that? Here I am, 65 years old, and I've never cut up a pie. So I theorized... that actually, I got Luann to cut it, but I theorized that I could cut it if I put something in the middle of it, something round, maybe,
right.
Or even a spoon, or stood something up in the middle of the pie and cut from the edge to that middle, and then moved over and did the same thing, then I would have a slice, a normal-looking, you know, a triangular-shaped slice of pie.
Right.
Is that good, or how would you cut up a pie? How would you cut a pie?
Okay, I am not a wonderful pie cutter.
Okay.
However, if you take your middle fingers on each hand,
okay,
and put at the edge of your pie pan,
all right,
and then you bring your thumbs together in the center of the pie. You with me?
Yeah.
And then you put a toothpick there.
In the middle where your thumbs were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you take your knife and you cut from the toothpick out. You cut from the center out instead of from the out from the center.
Okay, cut from the center out to the crust, mm-hmm. and then move over a little and do the same thing.
And then just angle, turn it a little bit and then cut again. Now, I found out the other day that I've seen these pie cutter frame things that look, I guess the idea is good, but they're huge. And it's a frame type thing that has little wedges in it, and
yeah.
you just cut your knife through there. But now there's also a pie cutter deal that is, you've seen the cake cutter things?
Yeah.
Okay, you can do that with a pie, too. And
but if you put something in the middle and cut from that, you could actually pretty much freehand do it, couldn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I know you're on a time constraint today, and we're about out of time. So give us an email address that people can write you and where you can go and participate and or simply listen to this cooking class.
Okay. Well, my email is SusanBarnes1, that's the number 1, @ Comcast.net.
Spell Susan Barnes. So just so
SusanBarnes.
All one word.
Mm-hmm.
1.
1 @ Comcast.net.
Okay.
And then the site of the show is 4/the/people.com, and then you'll if you go into where all the chat room lists are, hit V for visited all sites, and then hit B for blue plate special.
Okay.
And we're there at 4:00 on Wednesday afternoon Eastern, and it's called Soft Southern's Cooking.
And anyone can participate, and of course you have to have a microphone with your computer.
Right.
And you would be best, if you're going to do this, to go to another chat room and talk to somebody and make sure that you have your settings right and that everything
works.
Well,
you'll have to be on, a member of For the People, but that's an easy thing.
And it's free.
Right. And get registered.
It's free, and you just have to have a password, and that's all that's required, and you can go.
And you make up your own password.
Sure, and then you can go and participate in this class, or you can just be a voyeur and sit there and listen, or you can email Susie with an idea for recipes, or whatever. And this is Wednesday afternoons, every Wednesday, at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 Central, which would be 1 Pacific, and 2 Mountain Time, at For the People. Do V for visited all links, and then B for blue plate special, right?
That's it.
I think I got it. Isn't that amazing? I did.
That's incredible.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you in a day or two, probably sooner than that. I'm fixing to write my thoughts about our...